Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word as we have a word for Christians before I preach the gospel, the Just Jesus campaign, subtitled More About Jesus. I like that very well. Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. These are professors of the faith, but not truly born again Christians. He was talking about folk in the church whose God is their belly. They're only concerned about the pleasure of eating. And one of the things that people don't want to deal with, second to sex, no doubt, for most people, is eating. Eating gluttony, eating a good meal like good sex is almost orgasmic. And many people don't want to deal with that, but we become addicted to food, and certain foods, oftentimes foods that are not good for us, because it is almost like having good sex. I said almost, it's not quite the same. And so, you might recall in history, sex had a lot to do with idol worship. And we all know that sex and wine and food go together. I know that you don't like for me to speak so plainly, but you know what I'm talking about, every last one of you. And gluttony goes with drunkenness and committing sexual sins. We all know that. Later on in this series, I'll be dealing with gluttony and his friends. I'm not going to say her friends, but his friends. Don't you get mad with me. Don't you turn away. I know I have your attention, but you're getting ready to get mad. You get excited over certain foods that you look forward to all day long. You dream about it. When you get up in the morning, the first thing you say is, where is the nearest Chipotle's? Where is the nearest waffle fry at Chick-fil-A? Where, y'all don't hear me, where is the nearest sub sandwich shop? Where is the nearest coffee shop, Starbucks, with all of its whipped cream and all kinds of syrups you put in the coffee that destroys the coffee? You can't even call it coffee. You can get what you're getting at the fair. It doesn't wake you up, it makes you go to sleep. So much sugar in it. I can't get many amens this morning, but that's all right. I know some of you all are mad at me, especially some of you women who can't stand for anybody to say anything about your weight. you don't have to change. You don't have to repent. You can keep on overeating and being a glutton. But just acknowledge that it is sin and that it is wrong and that you are ashamed of it. Don't just go on acting like everything is all right. And that's what we're pointing out here today. We got too many pastors and too many Christians who just overlook this sin. And I must say, as I've said the other day, as I've said in the past, God has been gracious to his fat Christians. He's been very gracious. There's some things I just know he convicts quickly and hard about, such as fornication, adultery, looking at pornography, lying even. He convicts us. He deals with us about it, but he's been very patient and very gracious with his obese Christians. I was telling my son the other day, who's very thin like I was in my 20s. I told you my wife, when she first met me, she said, "Your body looks like the statue of David." I said, "Not quite, but that's all right. I appreciate the compliment." But I was telling my oldest son the other day that some folk in the church need to lose some weight because of the rapture that's going to take place. I don't know. I'm just saying, God might have me preaching this message because, trying to get some of you up is going to be something. Don't you get mad with me. And I told him, I said, it's going to be like this. The thin ones are going to be, they're gone, and then the obese ones, like this. Okay, we got you. We got you. Don't you get mad with me. Don't you get mad with me. I was not planning on saying that. But I told my son that the other day. He laughed his little head off. Guess he was laughing at me. He didn't say it. He probably said, "Well, Papa, you might be one of them. I don't know." Okay, good. Praise the blood of the Lord will never lose his power. But I tell you. But anyway, back to the word. I digress. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. They worship their belly. They worship what they put into their belly. The foodies. These are not the Christies, the followers of Christ. These are the foodies. That's what we call ourselves today, and we take great pride in it. With our plump selves, with our overweight selves, with our fat selves, with our obese selves, we're right in our season. Y'all don't hear me. Oh yes, this is our season. We're getting into our season, my friend. All bets are off after November the 1st. No diets in November and December. We go to the finest grocery stores. I don't want to name them. We don't go to Save a Lot. No. We go to those grocery stores where they feed you as you walk through the grocery store. They feed you the richest foods known to mankind. They go far and wide to get these foods, and you know it, and you pay big money. The foodies worship food. They worship what they put in their bodies. They smile and grin gleefully at food. They only get disturbed when the cupboard is bare and the refrigerator is empty. Y'all don't hear me. They get disturbed. They get into their mood swings. They're addicted to food. They can get angry, and they hurry up and grab their purse or their wallet. And they'll travel far and wide to get to that favorite grocery store, to get that favorite little item that they just love. Don't you get mad with me. In their favorite place, for the men, the glutton men, their favorite place is in the easy chair with the remote control and a tray full of food. Not the bicycle, not the little thing you walk on, the treadmill. No. The easy chair. See, gluttony has some friends whose God is their belly, little g God, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. These folks get twisted in their minds and they glory in their fat bellies, telling themselves lies. They read somewhere that, look how prosperous I am because I'm fat. The devil is a lie. That just shows God's blessings on my life. You're a liar. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that craves all of the things that are not good for us. Isn't that interesting? Why is it that we hate vegetables? From the time we're children, in many cases we hate vegetables. But we love ground beef full of fat. We like to not only taste the fat, we like to see the fat in the pan. We love pork. There's nothing like the flavor of pork. No meat. We love it. We love that bacon. Bacon burgers. Bacon on the salad. Bacon bits. Bacon this and bacon that. And it's nothing but grave food. We all know it. We can have a little hiccup in our heart and keep on stuffing down that bacon. Why do we love the bad stuff and we hate the good stuff? My son could eat anything, but when it came down to okra, little boy, he would almost suffocate holding that okra in his mouth. He refused to eat it. Okra, which they tell us now is good for a whole lot of things, especially diabetes. You diabetics, in case you don't know, get you some okra, cut it up, put it in some warm water, chop up some garlic, put it in there, put some apple cider vinegar in there, and your sugar goes down. Your sugar goes down. Just drink it in the morning, first thing. Don't go and eat an omelet with cheese and everything else known to mankind and bacon. Before you do it, you need to drink that drink first. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? Somebody ought to say amen right there. According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Holy Father God, we have sinned against you. We have enjoyed life, the life that you've given us, too much in a wicked way. You have been very gracious to those of us who have indulged too much. who are, according to the Bible, gluttons. Where our body that you have made, the frame that you have made, was not made to support the fat that we put on it through overeating. Eating more than we need, but yet we pray for the people over in other countries, third world countries, whose stomach is poking out for another reason. Lord, this ought to motivate us. The money that we spend on ourselves, help us to cut that in half and give that money to the poor, that money to people who need food, to give it to Life Today, to give it to Feed the Children, to give it to Samaritan's Purse, give it to World Vision, so that they can feed the children the very basic nourishment they need. Have mercy and grace upon us as your Christian people, and as many of us. Forgive us of our gluttony and eating way more than what we need. You want us to enjoy it. That's why you made it to taste good. But you did not want us to abuse it, like we abuse other things, such as alcohol, wine, sex, and other things that we should not go overboard with. And Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit to see this as sin against you, even though you've been very gracious, very patient with us. And Lord, you know you have. You don't hit us as hard on this as we should be hit, as far as conviction is concerned, as you do with other temptations and sins and thoughts and lies. So Lord God in heaven, we thank you for that, but the time has come, as your word says, that judgment must begin at the house of God, and it is a shame for us as preachers, including myself, and praise dancers, praise singers, and choir members, choir directors, standing before the house of God, fat as a cow. Lord, it is a shame. And it is an embarrassment, and all of us need to admit it, and we need to accept that pain of that shame and eat far less, exercise far more for your glory, praise, and honor, so that we can be a bright and shining light, and so that we can truly let our little light shine for your glory and your praise and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Beloved, as I have shared with you, this is an uncomfortable subject for many of us, because it involves shame for most of us. Let's be honest about it. Sir, you don't wear your jacket everywhere you go because you need it. You wear it, let's be transparent now. You and I, we wear our jackets to try to cover our big, fat, embarrassing stomachs. Lady, dear sister, you don't wear black all of the time like you're going to a funeral because you're going to a funeral. You wear it to cover up your fat. These layers of scarves and blankets and things that you throw over yourself, they're not designed to, they have nothing to do with your clothing. You're just trying to cover up your fat. Why? Because you are ashamed of it. And this is the really the main way that God is whipping us about it, through shame, through embarrassment. He's chastising us with it to change, so that we can change for His glory, praise, and honor. I'm talking to those who are truly born again. Some are professing Christians, but you're not saved. And God is trying to deal with you as well. But I'm talking mainly right now to Christians who are truly born again, who are saved. And they know they're saved. And they feel the shame and the conviction that shame brings about in your soul, that you know you ought not to be eating certain foods at this age. You ought not to be overeating. You ought not to be a glutton. And the proof of your gluttony is your stomach that pokes out, your big behind and your big hips that rub together, and that to the point where you can hardly walk. The big person that you see going into Walmart in a cart, a little scooter, will be you in just a few days, because your legs can't hold up 500 pounds. Your legs were not made by God to hold up 500 pounds. Your blood is not circulating in your legs as it should, so you can't even move your leg. You haven't seen or felt your toes in several years. Let's be real about it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a tough subject for many of us, filled with shame. Until you get into your easy chair, until you get into your bed and you pull out your Lonnie Dawn cookies, your shortbread cookies, nobody knows about it. You got it hidden away. You don't feel shame then. You feel good while you're nibbling on that food you love so much, that you are addicted to. But if you listen to what I'm telling you and take heed, as I am taking heed to my own preaching, this particular series can not only change your life spiritually, but it can save your life physically. According to the Journal of American Medicine, non-Hispanic blacks have the highest rates of obesity at 48%, and I believe that corresponds with diabetes, type 2 diabetes. The scourge of the saints in the church. Followed by Hispanics at 43. You say, well, why the Hispanics? You know what we eat. But if the Hispanics keep on eating those flour tortillas every day, they're going to have diabetes too. And they do. And then whites at 35%. And then Asians at 12%. Our relationship with food can negatively impact our relationship with God. God is a jealous God. We don't hear that much about it today, but God is a jealous God. And God will take all that luscious food from you and make you eat some black beans and rice if you don't repent on your own. He doesn't mind you enjoying the good things, the good food that you get at the special grocery stores that you just love to go to at 10 o'clock in the morning. You love it. You not only eating the food, but you just love being around the food. He'll take that good food from you, that and and make the debts high and the money low, where you would have to eat some brown rice and some black beans. And by the way, that's good for you. It can turn us into gluttons, and even worse, enemies of the cross of Christ, where our testimony is shot. Now listen to me carefully and listen to me well. If you are obese, we're not talking where you got it under control, but if you are overflowing, your cup is overflowing, but your pants and your dress is overflowing, it's going to be hard to witness to people who work out every day of the week, because they have already judged you in so many ways by the time you walk into the place. I guarantee you, many people do not go to church anymore because the people up front, obviously, in their minds, do not take care of themselves. I told you about a dear former Marine man, a friend of mine. He's very soft-hearted man, but he had to fire a lady because he said, I can't have anybody that won't take care of themselves. So I had to fire her so that she would get some help. Not with that particular issue, but with something else. See, beloved, this occurs when, as Paul writes, our bellies become our little g-gods. When we will move heaven and earth not to win a soul, but to go to the Cheesecake Factory. I can't get many amens, but that's okay. We will scrounge up quarters and dimes and nickels just to get that perfect little two or three slices of that perfect little cheesecake dripping with chocolate and everything else. The Greek words used here make it plain that he is not speaking in metaphor here. There were literally some believers or some professors who had made idols out of their stomachs. Really, you're making an idol of yourself. You're more concerned about stuffing yourself. Have you ever been around some fat folks who will say to you, I have diabetes, I got to eat. No, that's how you got diabetes. You say something about fasting for one day, they say, honey, I got diabetes, I got to eat. My sugar might drop low, and who's going to come pick me up? Nobody. Do y'all hear me? I have to have me a Twinkie nearby or something. No, you don't. And they're serious about that. All they cared about was physical satisfaction and physical pleasure. I told you, next to sex is food and wine. And there are people who can live in moderation by the grace of God, as it should be, with food and or wine. Or some can live in moderation with wine, but not with food, or vice versa. And both are bad and detrimental to your health. And both will take you to an early grave. Can somebody say amen? Clement of Alexandria, a church father from the 2nd and 3rd centuries, wrote, pardon me, some men in truth live that they may eat. You say, preacher, are you one? Yes, I have. I'm repenting now, but I have. And I have no physical threats, medical threats, anything as a reason why I'm doing it. But I will tell you this, some are. You have, your doctors told you you're going to be dead in 2 years if you don't stop eating so much. I'm doing it because of the conviction of the shame, the chastisement of the shame of having a, some would call it a beer belly, but I don't drink beer. But a big belly that I'm embarrassed about. And that's God's way of convicting me. And so, by the grace of God, I have repented, and I am repenting, and I am dealing with it, and I want to encourage everybody else who has the same problem to deal with it. Let's acknowledge it as the church. It will help people who are in great shape when they come to church. At least they know that you're dealing with it. And you're not condemning others like a hypocrite about their sins, and you are a glutton. And so, ladies and gentlemen, some men in truth live that they may eat. Let's be honest about that. That we live to eat. And if we live to eat, my dear friends, we are at least on the borderline of worshiping food. If you wake up in the morning thinking about all three of your meals, not your first one, but all three, and where you're going to eat, and you wake up and you tell your wife, you know, I have a taste for. And how about some of us where we've eaten everything in the kitchen and we really don't have a taste for anything, we just want to eat. We've had beef, we've had chicken, we've had fish, we've had it all galore. Some of us have had a little pork. Got tired of that, got a little lamb. Anything that was walking. And you got some people so wicked today, they're eating horse meat. Gluttons. Any kind of crocodile, snake. Anything that moves. If we live to eat, we know that we got it. In the words of my dear dad, Daniel White Jr., we got it ass backwards, and he's right. Just like the irrational animals do, whose life is their belly. Down on the right. All the way. Whose life is their belly and nothing else. But the instructor enjoins us to eat that we may live. Now the truth of the matter is, let's be honest. God help us, let's be honest. We don't need the leg for lunch. It's just one meal. The leg, the fried leg, the fried chicken leg from Chicken Express, from Church's Fried Chicken, from Kentucky Fried Chicken, even the so-called grilled kind. We don't need the leg, the breast, the thigh, and the wing. That's half a chicken. You say, preacher brother, have you ever eaten half a chicken? Yes. Without any trouble whatsoever. In fact, I almost ate a whole chicken one time, but I got under conviction and I put a small portion into the refrigerator to eat later, to eat the next day. I just felt it was a sin to eat the whole chicken. And it is. Say, preacher, have you eaten almost a whole half of a turkey? Wing, leg, dark meat, white meat, and some breast. Not the whole. But I tell you one thing, I'm the first one to get my meat in the house. And it will be some of all of it. I'm just being honest with you, being transparent. And I obviously, I'm not the only one. It's a shame, and I have to admit this, and if God does not help me, I think we're going to do the same thing this year if we're not careful. But doing the Thanksgiving is not just a single day event with us. We start Thanksgiving November the 1st in our house. We start buying turkeys. And we, listen to me very carefully, we'll eat two turkeys a week. Now, we do have a large family. And I do have some greedy folk in the family, but I'm the biggest one. On Thanksgiving week, we're allowed to have four turkeys a week. All different kinds of, and we'll have a smoked turkey. We'll have a traditional turkey. We'll have my famous recipe turkey, just drenching in unhealthy things. And quite frankly, I love it. But this year, with God's help, I'm going to repent of that, and I'm not going to do that this year by the grace of God. Food is to be simple, he said, truly plain, right side down, all the way. That levels it out. Simple, truly plain, suiting precisely simple and innocent children as ministering to life, not to luxury. Our eating should lead us to two things: health and strength to do God's will in the work that God wants us to do. Amen, somebody. We ought not to live to eat like I have done for many years, even on health foods. When I got saved, as most of us, God introduced me to health foods. My first health food store was GNC, and then I graduated on up to Seventh-day Adventist health food stores. And still, I practice the sin of gluttony there as well, deceiving myself into thinking, oh, these cookies are good for me. So let me buy three packs. These bars are good for me, so let me buy a bunch of them. This soy ice cream is good for me, so let me buy a lot of it. No, you can be a glutton at the health food store as well. In fact, when I'm sitting in the parking lot at our wonderful health food store, one of the largest in America, Seventh-day Adventist owned and operated, I would venture to say that 60% of the people that walk in there are obese. And obese folk like me, we'll get some good serious stuff to try to help with some vitamins and things like that, but I guarantee you, we're coming out with a treat. We're coming out with a treat, my friend. We're going to reward ourselves for going to that health food store. Oh, yes, we are. Don't let that bag fool you. There's a treat in there. There's a big monster cookie in there. Oh, yes. you know, made with cane sugar. It's still sugar. He goes on to describe the kinds of exotic foods that people in his day sought after. Then he adds, in their greed, the gluttons seem absolutely to sweep the world with a dragnet. Oh, yes. This is back in the day, second and third century. They sweep the world with a dragnet. My God, help us gluttons today. If they use a dragnet, we use I don't know what. Because we go far and wide to get the best food. To gratify, he said, their luxurious tastes. He said, these gluttons surrounded with the sound of hissing frying pans. Oh, well, now we're hitting home. This is the second and third century. And wearing their whole life away at the pestle and mortar, fixing up concoctions and things to make them to eat and to drink. Cling to material things. Gluttony has driven them to sweetmeats. Have you ever heard of honey baked ham, honey baked turkey? You know that's not good for you. I mean, there's honey, anything that's honey baked. The meat is already bad for you, full of sodium, full of salt, and then on top of that, they put some kind of sweet gel on it. Honey cakes is another one he said. Honey cakes. Sweet cakes. We are some bacon people, the obese people in the church. We bake, buddy. We bake. We love it. We set that timer. We hear it go off. It's like music to our ears. What? Baked goods right out of the oven, made the way you like them. And then they hunted for sugar plums, inventing a multitude. Hear me well now. This is back in the second and third century. Inventing. Won't take it just natural. Won't just eat the wonderful dates. Won't eat the plums off the tree or whatever they grow on. No, just eat the fruit like God made it. Already packaged up and everything. They concoct different things out of it. And see, that's what's wrong with us today. When we go to the grocery stores that we love so much, it's not natural. Much of it's not natural. We get the concocted things that were made, and we get deceived. Y'all don't hear me. We get deceived when they say on the package, oh, this is made out of apricots. Made out of pineapple. Oh, there's good things in it, pineapple. But you don't see all the other stuff that they use to concoct it. And that's what is causing you to gain weight. And that's what they use to addict you. There's certain things they put in these foods that have addicted us. And we ought not to, as Christians, be addicted to anything. Can somebody say amen? Now, if you, and we're going to deal with this more in the future, if you know you got folk in your history that were drunkards, that had no control over drinking, they take one drink, they got to keep on drinking until they are out of their minds drunk. And by the way, some of you young folk need to be careful. And by the way, wine is not even for young people. Wine is not even for young people. You're not even, you don't need wine. There's nothing wrong with you. But in case in point is a young woman who was on high on something, some alcohol and a mixture of other things. She was so out of her mind, she walked into a freezer and walk-in freezer and died. That happened last week. Tragic. Inventing a multitude of desserts. Hunting after all manner of dishes, end of quote. Clement concludes, but we who seek the heavenly bread must rule the belly which is beneath heaven, and much more the things which the belly craves, which God shall destroy. So, dear Christian friend, by the grace of God, don't be a slave to that which is of no effect in the end. In the grand scheme of things, food is neither here nor there. It is designed by God to sustain your body so that you can glorify God, so that you can truly praise God and serve God for as long as He wants you to, and be a blessing to others and serve others. And in closing, my beloved, let me say, some of you were not affected by Harvey and Irma or this recent one, Maria, I think her name is, hurricane. But if you watched the recoveries, you don't want to be obese when your storm comes. Not only will it be embarrassing, but there's some folks so fat that you can't be helped. And you don't want to be in that position. Now, beloved, for some practical steps in closing, get a family member or a friend, an Ace Boone Coon, involved in your quest to lose weight, and involved in your quest to stop being a glutton and see overeating as a sin. It's not just psychological. It's not just something you want to do. It is a sin against God, because you are harming the body that He gave you by eating too much and eating all that sugar and all that salt, and you zap your life out right when God probably wants to use you. And obviously, in this day and time, you're not through when you're 70. Whether you like the president or not, he's having the time of his life at 70 plus years old. Don't try to do this thing alone. Get you a church buddy who's fat, and you go walking together. Talk about the Lord. Not just for 15 minutes. I mean, keep on walking and talk a long time. And then don't go to Starbucks and get an ice cream float coffee to put the pounds back on. Don't try to do this thing alone. You can keep each other accountable and encourage each other as you solve this problem, this sin problem. As the Bible says, two are better than one. Amen, somebody. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for putting this series on my heart, and Lord, to share with myself and others. And Lord, I know the devil is mad, because like Gollum in that famous movie, the devil likes to rub his hands together and call the fat saints, oh, the fat ones. The fat ones. They're not going to do anything. I can soothe them with some fattening foods, and they'll go to sleep in their easy chair and let lost souls go to hell. Lord God in heaven, have mercy and grace upon us. Forgive us of our sins, our failures. Forgive us of embarrassing you. and shaming you in the church. And help us to confess and repent. And if people are not willing to confess and repent, Lord, lead the leadership in the church to sit them down. And so that they will be ashamed, at least, to repent of this sin of overeating and bragging about it and thinking that is something good and becoming defensive. Lord, we just need to confess our sins and repent and see this as sin. Anything that we do that destroys our body is sin. And help us to repent today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen.